for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon Ladies 115 Deliverance and Teaching Meeting. Carla Batard is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Spirit of Desolation.
Are y'all ready to get started? It's 1:20. This is for whoever's here. Kind of like lunch. If you show up, you get to eat. I wanted to, you know, I did this teaching, I think it was in July, but it's kind of something new that the Lord has brought to me, but I think that it affects an awful lot of people. How many of you were here? I think it was the July 4th camp. How many were here at the 4th of July camp? Ooh, wow. That's pretty many. But for those of you who weren't, I wanted to talk about something that I have named Desolation, the Curse of Tamar. And if you would open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 13, 2 Samuel 13, and while you are turning to there, I want to pray. Father, I just thank you for each person that is sitting here today. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. I thank you for bringing them here to Lake Hamilton. Lord, that they might hear the messages that you have planned and are bringing forth in the people that you have here to share and to teach and to do deliverance and healing. Father, I just ask now that you would minister to each of the ladies. Lord, as only you can, we can bring the word, but you have to do the work through the word as it comes forth. And I just pray for the heart of each person here. Lord, that we can lay down any self-consciousness, any fear that would hold us back from being set free from this spirit of desolation today. And it covers a lot of things. And so, Father, I just ask that you would send ministering angels and your Holy Spirit to minister to each one as this word comes forth. Father, shine your light on all the dark places in our hearts that sometimes are too painful to look at or even talk about, but Father, places that you want to shine your light and to drive out the darkness from those areas, that we might be made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so distressed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. This was, this fella, Jonadab, was Absalom and Amnon's cousin. And he said unto Amnon, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Now, Amnon and Absalom were half-brothers. So this was Absalom's sister. And Amnon was attracted to her. And he knew that he shouldn't be attracted to her. And it was a source of torment to him. He was, if it had been any other girl, he could have pursued her. But he knew that he was not to pursue his sister. So he was lusting after his half-sister. In verse 5, "And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and pretend that thou art sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me food, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So, here is this cousin telling him how to bring his desire to fruition. Okay, now verses 6 through 10 is just the explanation that that's exactly what he did. He pretended he was sick. King David came to visit. He said, send my sister that she may prepare food for me and feed it out of her own hand. So now Tamar is brought into the bedchamber. There's nobody in there with him, just himself and his sister, his half-sister, who he was lusting after. And in verse 11, it says, and when she had brought them, the cakes, unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for such thing ought not be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, where shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Now that's a hard thing for me to understand because, you know, incest was not allowed. And yet, you know, she said, in basically, talk to Dad about it. He'll let you have me. And that's even hard to understand. In verse 14, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, probably because he knew the daddy would say no. And maybe she knew, maybe she felt safe that her daddy would have said to the brother, forget it. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her, which we all understand to be rape. He raped her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which he had loved her. Now, don't you find that interesting? That here he lusted after this beautiful young girl for so long that he was beginning to lose weight. He was looking sickly because of his desire for her. And now he has had her, and his response was to hate her. And I really believe, it doesn't say this right here, but I believe that as we all do when we are desiring something that we know that's wrong, and then we do the thing that we know is wrong, we hate ourselves. But he took his anger out on her, like it was her fault. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Well, you know, this is someone's account of this story. You can just see him saying, get out of my sight. I don't even want to see you. In 16, and she said unto him, there is no cause this evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. She was very hurt. She was wounded and hurt in the rape, but the fact that he would speak to her that way was even more hurtful. In 17, then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now in my Bible, the word woman is in italics in the King James Version. And usually when there's a word, well, always, when there is a word in italics, it is a word that the editors of the Bible put in there to make it read more smoothly. But without that word woman there, he says to his servant, put now this out from me. He doesn't even acknowledge her as a person. Get this out of here. Which I'm sure was very hurtful to Tamar. And bolt the door after her. You know that had to be a sound in her ear. First she's thrown out of the room, and then she hears him bolt the door from the inside. In 18, and she had a garment of several colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters, who were virgins appareled. Now, I found this interesting. These girls that were virgins wore a certain kind of clothing, literally. But in the spirit realm, we have a virgin's garment. When we are young girls and we are pure, there is a spiritual, in the spirit realm, the spirits can see this garment of purity and virginity. It says, "Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her garment of several colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on her way crying." She was devastated. And this, it says, she put ashes on her head. This is always used in when someone has been, they find out someone's been killed, they put ashes on their heads. You know, years ago when my children were little bitty, I had 3 babies in 3 years, and it was very overwhelming. And so for entertainment, believe it or not, I went to work in a grocery store. I didn't have, you know, for 3 years I'd been pregnant, all I had was worn out jeans and sneakers and sweatshirts and things, t-shirts like that. And to get a job, I didn't have any clothes to go apply for a job. And one day it occurred to me, hey, they have a big turnover at that grocery store, and they wear uniforms. I could do that. So I got a job at the grocery store, and I was the happiest checker in there because I was out of my element. But anyway, one Wednesday, I was at work, and it was Ash Wednesday. Now, I was raised Methodist. I didn't know anything about the Catholic Church, but this lady came in, and she had this big smudge on her forehead, you know, and I said, oh, you've got something on your head. And she goes, oh, it's Ash Wednesday. And I said, oh, I knew that was, you know, a Catholic thing. And I said, what do y'all do that for? And she goes, I don't really know. But they went, you know, because it was Ash Wednesday, you go get ashes on your head. Of course, they didn't know what it was for, but, and I wanted to know. So after reading this story in other places where people were in grief and everything, they would put ashes on their head. So I just think this must have been a symbolic thing. It happened on a Wednesday, which supposedly Jesus was crucified, you know, so I think it was like just a symbolic thing of the sorrow of Jesus being crucified. I don't know if that's true or not, but I just thought it was interesting that she put ashes on her head and tore her garment, which is another outward sign of anguish and devastation and being beyond yourself. So she tears this garment. Also, the fact that because of what had happened to her, she didn't feel worthy to wear the garment anymore. And so she tore the garment of several colors and went on her way crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? Now, you know, if he already suspected that something like this might happen. And when he saw her, he knew in his heart what had happened, that Amnon had his way with her against her will. And so this is what he says to her. And this is his sister, his little sister. But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. Now, don't you know that made her feel terrible? Here is a brother who should have fought, you know, for her honor, for what had happened to her, been angry with this half-brother who had raped her. And yet, he tells her to be quiet about it, which in so many times is the case. You've heard of daughters who go to their mothers, you know, if the father or the stepfather or the brother or an uncle or anybody has had this happen in their families, and it is hushed. These are things that you don't want to talk about. These are things that cause lifetime of problems for women, and yet they have no one who has stood up for them, who has defended them. And this is what happened to Tamar. Okay, so now here Tamar has been raped. She has nobody that's going to defend her honor, to do anything about it, and is even told to keep it quiet. And she is wounded by this. And this is the thing that caught my attention. The next words. It says, so Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. And Tamar is not spoken of anymore. Probably Tamar never was married. She never had a family. She remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now, that word, desolation, and I've learned, since I've learned about deliverance, that many times you can recognize the manifestations of certain spirits by doing a word study on whatever it was. You know, like rejection. You can look up the word rejection, and it will tell you the definition. The words themselves will describe a person who is rejected. So when I looked up the word desolation, here are some the definition. Astonishment. That word means to be astonished. It means amazement. It's a great surprise, and usually in a bad way. Or dismay that hinders or throws into confusion. So you see that you can have confusion can be a manifestation of rape or sexual sin, incest, molestation, abuse, things of that nature can cause this astonishment. It means desolate. It means waste or ruined. And many times women feel ruined. They feel like, you know, they've been spoiled, that they're damaged goods, that nobody's going to want them. And then, of course, the lying spirit's right there saying, that's right, nobody wants you. You know, nobody will want you because you're used or unclean or whatever the lies are that Satan would want to torment you with. The primary root of the word desolation means to stun. See, Tamar was stunned when that happened. He grabbed her and had his way with her. And you know, the whole time that was happening, she was in this state of just disbelief, not even believing that this could be happening. To stun or grow numb. To devastate. Stupefy. And that word, there's a lot to the word stupefy. Stupefy, the root is a wound, a bodily injury caused by a physical force applied from without or outside your own self. A disordered psyche or behavioral state resulting from stress or injury. That's what stupefy means. Make desolate, destroy, and in parentheses, it had self. So this can be a manifestation people who self-destruct. You know, they'll cut themselves or they get into some kind of self-destructive behavior. Sometimes eating disorders. You know, just different things that cause you to want to destroy yourself. Thanks for asking that. This is in the concordance. And I'm going to give you the Webster Dictionary after that. Usually I always look it up in the concordance, the Strong's Concordance first, and then I also look up the dictionary. Because Dr. Null said something one time that I thought was very profound. There will be people who will want to argue with you about definitions that come from a theological direction, but they won't argue with you about a Webster's Dictionary. But I like to get a good picture of it. I like to get the Strong's Concordance, because in this was in the Old Testament, and so it was written in Hebrew, and it gives you the Hebrew definition of the word. So I like to get the Hebrew biblical definition, and then I like to go to the Webster Dictionary, and it just expounds a little more. Back to the Strong's, though. destroy self, make waste, wonder, stricken with uncertainty. See, so it can cause a lot of things. Now, the Webster definition of desolation is the condition of being desolated, a barren wasteland, grief, sadness, loneliness, desolate, abandoned, alone, lacking inhabitants and visitors, forsaken, lonely, and neglected. Deserted is left in the lurch, a helpless or unsupported position and not protected. So that's what happened to Tamar. She was left in a lurch, thrown out, the door bolted behind her. There was nobody to really console her. She was just told to keep it quiet, don't tell anybody. And she was left with her pain, her shame, her sorrow, her grief, her devastation. Okay. It also means, and these are from the Webster, and then I looked up the words because they give you words, but sometimes I don't know what the word that they use as a definition means, so I looked that up. And it means dilapidated, which means decaying, to decline in health, strength, or vigor, to decline from a sound or prosperous condition. That's what dilapidated means. The thing that really caused me to, I began to question God, because I've been walking with the Lord since I was 23 years old. And so for 30, well, see, I'm not good in math. I'm 55 now. So for all those years, I've been to many, many meetings, many, many camps. And most of the time, it's predominantly women and predominantly single women, unmarried or married but not happily married, married but wishing they were single. And I just, you know, I began to ask the Lord, what is the deal? What is the deal? Why are there so many single, unmarried women? And they're all seeking God, but they're young, they're beautiful, they're available, but they're single. And one day my eyes fell on this story that I had already read, and I had circled those words because I thought that was so interesting. She remained desolate. And when I saw that, that's what really made me go back and really examine the story, because when I saw those words, she remained desolate, I thought, wow, there is something to this, that many, many women who were sexually abused as young women, who were, there was incest involving the father or the mother. You know, this is not predominantly a female thing. There are many men who have suffered sexual abuse. In fact, women, because we are so desperate to be healed, don't mind revealing these things. Men, not so open with their sexual abuse. So, you know, I thought, okay, if I teach, you know, the whole group, I'm going to do this desolation again, even with the men, because I think there are a lot of men who, there are men who are desolate, you know, men who are middle-aged, who have never married, they're lonely, and these same things apply to the men as they do the women. So, anyway, did someone raise their hand back there? Okay. I saw a shadow, I guess. Okay. Another word is barren, not reproducing. A lot of people who suffer from this have a hard time getting jobs, holding jobs, staying in one place for very long, failing to produce fruit, or producing inferior or scanty vegetation. So, I mean, you know, if you look at a barren land, if we were talking about a property, you know, you would say, oh, it's desolate because it's, you know, it has scanty vegetation, not fruitful, not good soil, like that. Only we're applying this to people. Lacking interest, information, or charm. So it's not attractive. The land is not attractive. It's lifeless, having no life, dead, inanimate, lacking qualities expressive of life and vigor, or a dullness. See, so you can see these manifestations sometimes in women and men who have been violated. Cheerless, lacking in warmth or kindliness, depressed and sad, or being gloomy, melancholy, low-spirited, dismal, dejected, cast down in spirit, despondent, discouraged, or disheartened. Also, forsaken is one of the words, and that means to quit or leave entirely. Now, see, it doesn't have to be, it is a betrayal. Tamar was betrayed by her half-brother. He betrayed her. He deceived her. He made her think that he was sick. She goes to attend to him, and then he rapes her. And then he throws her out. Locks her out, makes her feel like not even worthy to be called by her name, but get this out of my room. That kind of treatment. So she felt absolutely forsaken. And there are many things that can happen in our lives that cause us to feel forsaken. It could have been In the sense of betrayal, it could have been like a mate who was, what's the word I'm looking for? He went out on her. Unfaithful. A mate who was unfaithful. And that betrayal, that sense of betrayal can do all of these things to a person who is betrayed. Maybe it was... Maybe you were sexually abused by someone in your family, and your mother, who you went to for help and for protection, said, just keep it quiet, don't tell anybody. Or she doesn't believe you that it happened. Or maybe you went to your father. Or maybe you went to a teacher or whoever, and they didn't do anything. That is a betrayal, and it can cause a person to not feel worthy of someone taken up for them. So you see how all of these things could cause a person to feel that way. Maybe it was just someone who really hurt you. Or it could have been rape. It can happen to a person, like if somebody that they really love dies and they feel abandoned and betrayed just because, you know, they didn't have anything to do with the person dying. But they felt left. Children, sometimes that happens to children, either through divorce or the death of a parent. They feel like that parent went off and left them. And it's not that case. That's not the case at all. But, you know, it's the feeling that comes on you. And if it's there, it's real. Whether it was real or not, I know that if you have feelings in your head, if it's in your mind, it's real. If you feel like somebody has betrayed you, that it may not have been intentional, but you feel betrayed, it's real to you. And all of those implications of betrayal and all the circumstances that come about are real because that's the way you feel about it. Or it could have been someone who just totally ignored you. You were emotionally abused because you know that this person is supposed to love you and protect you and nurture you and care for you, but you didn't get that. And so a devastation came into your life because of that. So this is a spirit that is widespread and needs to be dealt with. And I think that it's something that just not has been looked at quite in the way of being devastated and causing devastation in a person's life. Let's see. Here's an interesting thing. I prayed for a girl who was sexually abused. And she told me that when she was a little girl, well, she kind of reverted back to a little girl when I was praying for her. And she said that, she said, "Can I tell you a secret?" And I said, "Yes." And she got in my ear and she said, "The mean man comes in my room." And I said, "The mean man?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Do you know who the mean man is?" She said, "No." But I had a feeling that as a child, when this happened to her, it was too unbearable for her to believe that this person that she trusted had done this to her. I think it was somebody that was in her family because it happened in her house and it happened on her parents' bed. So I believe that, you know, out of the pain and the disbelief, the shock, the astonishment, it was too, what does it say about her psyche, she was stupefied almost to a point of not being able to see who it was because of the disorder. It had the stupefy says, wound, a bodily injury caused by a physical force applied from without, a disordered psyche or behavioral state resulting from stress or injury. That's what I think happened to this young girl. Only she was a woman, but when I prayed for her, she reverted. She sounded like this little 5-year-old girl. So I believe that that's probably when it started. And she had buried it because it was too painful for her to remember and to talk about. So she was whispering this to me about the mean man. And do you know that I found the mean man in the scripture? Well, I hope I wrote it down. I don't see where I wrote it down, where the mean man is. But when I saw it in the scripture, I looked it up, and it means having no light. Someone who has no light and is evil and dark. And so this is why she called him the mean man. And so I dealt with the mean man. I just called him the mean man. And there were some other things going on with her. Many times when you've had a traumatic sexual experience like this, especially from a betrayal of someone that you trust and that you love, Satan will come and claim this person for their own sexual pleasure, to the point that when the woman who, you know, tries to move on in her life, she gets married, but she can never have a good sexual relationship with her husband because this spirit has come and claimed. Now, Frank Marzullo Sr. wrote a book, and it's called, there's one on incubus and succubus, which are sexual spirits. Incubus is a spirit who takes on the form of a man and will have sexual intercourse with women. And the succubus spirit is a spirit who will take on the physical form of a female, and she will seduce and cause the man to respond like he has had sexual intercourse with a woman. So these spirits are very active, and they're not talked about very much because it's like Tamar. She says, "What am I going to do with my shame?" See, we have things in our lives that cause us to feel shameful, and that's the intent. That's the torment from the spirit who will do these things, is to cause you to feel shameful. They will cause you to keep it quiet. See, Satan has his greatest power in the areas of your secrets. He will tell you to keep it secret because he doesn't want you to expose him so that he can be dealt with. and cast out of your body and away from your life so that he can't own you anymore. The other little booklet is called The Spirit of the Bride of Satan. They call it that because as the church, we are the bride of Christ. But when that spirit comes and takes and claims you for his own to the point that you can't have an enjoyable, a normal sexual relationship with your husband, then he claims you as his bride. And this is something that is very prevalent in children who have been ritually abused in satanic worship and things like that. That's exactly what they're doing, is dedicating that child to Satan for that purpose. And, you know, sometimes little children don't remember those things because of the stupor, that spirit of stupor that comes on the child to bury this in their psyche so that they don't remember it because it was just too horrible to remember. It is shocking to me that things like this go on, but I know now that it goes on a lot more than we can even imagine. And so if this is something that has been in the lives of women or men, know that God would want you to be free from all of this devastation that these things have caused in your life, the barrenness. And Proverbs 22:29, that might be where that's listed. Seems like it was in Isaiah, though. Let me see why I wrote this down. Oh, because these are the places where the mean man is mentioned. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Isaiah 2:9, I think that's the one that made me realize that she was... There is a gnat, huh? 22:9. Oh, Isaiah 2:9, that's where I'm headed now. Isaiah 2:9. And so sometimes if I suspect that there is sexual abuse or molestation or anything, I like to go after that mean man because many times it's happening with young little girls and older men. "And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not." The mean man. I thought that was interesting that he was... it also means hypocrite, an actor, of a common sort, of low degree and deceptive. Look at Isaiah 5:15. It's also there. "And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled." So there's another. And Isaiah 31:8 also has the mean man. Isaiah 31:8. "Then shall the Assyrian fall by the sword, not of man, and the sword not of men shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be made vassals." Wait a minute. Isaiah 31:8. Let me look at the reference in my... Okay, a mean man, that should be, "Then shall the Assyrian fall by the sword, not of mean men, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him." So we see that the mean man that she mentioned exists even in the Old Testament days. I just thought that was interesting. The mean man. And I ran across that in the scripture, and I thought, wow, I think I called her and told her about it, too. It means dark, having no light. It means hide. In the Webster Dictionary, it means obscure, poor, shabby, not honorable, not worthy, unkind, wicked, stingy, miserly, spiteful, malicious, and has a malicious disposition. That pretty much describes the mean man. And in her case, it was a mean man. He did mean things to her. He didn't regard her. He was disrespectful and not honorable. He was wicked and unkind, shabby and dark, having no life. So we could even say that Amnon was a mean man for him to have done something like what he did to Tamar. Usually this leaves the person that these things have happened to. There is anger, rage, even a desire to murder, which, you know, before the days of Jesus, I mean, I started to look that up because there are, you know, if a man raped somebody, there were things, I mean, they were killed. They either had to marry the woman or they had to pay the daddy or they were killed. There are laws surrounding men who do these types of things, who take a woman against her will. God didn't like it either. God is not for keeping this quiet. He wants you to be free from the things that it has done to your life, from the desolation. So there's usually anger at the violator. Sometimes the devil is successful in making the woman feel like it was even her fault. She feels guilty for something that happened to her that she had nothing to do with. But the enemy will make her feel guilty and shameful. You might be angry at the protector that didn't protect you, which is understandable. There are victims all in this. The person that it happens to is a victim. The person who does it is a victim, really, because he's got a demon. And he probably hates it, although the person who is harmed by it, the devastation that it causes them in their life is so damaging. Many times these are people who are leading seemingly normal lives. They have honorable jobs and, you know, even some are pastors. We hear in the Catholic Church the priest who did these things to young boys. And so it could be people that you trust, even a parent or a brother. So it's the person who is seemingly living a normal life, but they have this secret thing in their own life, which if they had brought it out to somebody at some point, but many times we don't think that there's anything that can be done about it. That is what I love about the deliverance ministry. The things that are kept secret because the person has no power over it. I understand, just because of the way I am with chocolate, that, you know, if I have a six bars of Hershey bars at my house and I say, okay, I'm just going to eat one of these. One a day is all I'm going to allow myself. And then a little later, I go and there's only like two left. And I'm the only one in the house. So I know I've eaten them. I'll walk by and see an empty package and think, when did I eat that? But I'm telling you, this is how demons work. They put you in it's almost like, as I describe it, as I've watched it operate in my son. It's almost like I see him disappear right in front of my eyes. One minute, I see him, it's him. And then he can go and come back, and it's like, who are you? What have you done with my son? Because it's almost like there's eyeballs here and eyeballs on the other side of the eyeball, and they switch. And I can tell which ones are him, and I can tell which ones are a drug, the demon. You can see it. It's really quite amazing. And so it's almost like when I would hear court cases of men who were like serial killers, and they have no recollection of doing these murders, and they sit there and they say, I'm innocent. I did not do that. I was nowhere around or whatever. Even though they come to themselves, they're covered with blood, they don't know what's happened. Because I really believe that demon pushes everything that's right about the person into a place where they have no power, almost like putting them to sleep. and then they take over the body and do their thing, and then when they're done, the person comes back to their senses, and here they've done this thing. And that's what I believe happens to these pedophiles and to rapists and murderers. You know, it's almost like the spirit of murder, and this, and we're seeing this all the time, and it's awful, but you see these cases of parents who are killing their children. And you cannot even imagine how in the world somebody could do that. But that demon works like this. It may be there, and it's dormant, just like my chocolate demon. Okay? It's that lust to eat that chocolate. I don't even realize that it's there until I see the empty package. And I think, how did I eat that? And I don't remember eating that. But in the murder thing, it's like the spirit of murder is there. And then it may lay dormant for 25 years. But when the opportunity arises, when something kicks that thing in, that demon demands to be satisfied, and it's almost like the person has no control over it until it is satisfied, and then that demon subsides because it's like had its chocolate bar. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that that's what happens to people when they do these things. They are also a victim. It's hard for us to see that or to look at them in that respect. But they are as much a victim as the person that they victimized. But it's hard for us to see that because we have such compassion for the victim. But I'm beginning to understand that the person who does these things also is a captive. He's in bondage to that demon. And there is hope for them only through salvation in Jesus Christ and deliverance. That really is the only thing. Otherwise, I mean, you can't medicate them. You know, if you medicate them, it just puts them to sleep. You can't put them in prison other than you can put the person who does these things in prison. You notice that when you put a serial killer in prison, there's no more murders by his hands. But if he gets out, there'll be more murders. Because while the guy is in prison, so is the demon. The demon can't do anything because the body's locked up. That's how they work. So a person could be angry at the violator, angry at the protector who didn't protect them. There are a lot who even are angry with God because why didn't God stop that person? Which is a legitimate question if you're the victim. Where was God when this happened? That happens a lot. And so there is an anger at God, which then is still like being imprisoned because God can't reach them because they're so angry with him, they won't have anything to do with him. So that's a problem if you're angry at God because these things happened. There might be rage attached to it. You may not even know where it came from, but the rage is there. It's an unbridled anger that really wants to kill that person. And then, of course, you know, they wouldn't outwardly say that to somebody because then you would think badly of them. So it's another thing Satan says, you better not tell anybody that, you know, that you had that murder in there. So it just compiles, just things just are piling up and piling up. The need for revenge, the desire to get them back, or just wishing ill will on them, even death or murder, and the want to kill them. These are all spirits that could come from the spirit of desolation from these things happening. So, look at Isaiah 61:3. And this is the opportunity that you have today if this is something that's working in your life. Let me just start at one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. See, if Tamar had lived in this day and she came to Lake Hamilton, she would have an opportunity to be delivered from the thing that happened to her, the rape, to be cleansed and made new from her devastation. She would get beauty for ashes, you know, where she had put ashes on her head. No. God is able to give you beauty for those ashes. For the oil of joy for mourning. We don't have to stay in mourning. We don't have to stay in the ashes. The Spirit of the Lord is able to wash you clean, to restore your purity, to restore your garment, your virgin's garment, to give you the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That was that one of the manifestations, is a heaviness of grief and a sorrow, a dullness, a lack of life and joy. God is able to restore all of that, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Look at verse 7. For your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess a double portion. You're going to have a double portion of joy, a double portion of beauty. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So I'm going to close with that, but I do want to pray if there is devastation, desolation working in your life, devastation, grief, sorrow, mourning, shame. Let me tell you the word rape, it means to seize and take away by force. It means to ravish, and that means to transport with emotion. Emotional rape. You know, it may not even have been a physical rape. Many people are so raped with words to the point of stripping someone from their honor, from their beauty, from their joy, from their purity. You can be defiled by words. It means to plunder, and it means rob with an invasion. So even if it's not a physical thing, even if you were mentally or emotionally abused, these things can apply to you as well. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? Or if anybody has this working in their life, do you have an insight or something to add or... Well, he became an accomplice because he didn't do anything. It was that sad. That would be hard to deal with. He thought he had a right to do that to her. Is that what you're saying? Okay, yeah. Yeah, she was betrayed by both brothers. Yeah, betrayal. And the reason we haven't is because these things have been kept quiet. You know, in the family, when you talk about your relatives, you only hear the good stuff. You know, very rarely do they tell you, well, you know, he's a molester, he's a child molester. In fact, that's why it is allowed to continue, is because it's never brought into the light. So those are the things that have continued and continued because they have been kept quiet. They've been kept secret. And God says that everything that is secret will be manifest in the light. He's going to bring it to light. And the very things, you know, it's like we think as parents that what we did, nobody knows what we did. But it's relived through our children. Our sins are lived out loud in our children. You know, we see the things that we did, they do. And so it goes on and on and on. And it's been going on since the beginning of time. But it's time for the madness to stop. Time for the madness to stop. Yes. Right. And see, actually, the fact that he lusted after his sister came from the fact that David lusted after Bathsheba. You know, I teach that in generational curses because the father, what the father did, now is being done again. The sins of the fathers are visited upon the third and the fourth generation. So, not only did Amnon lust after and rape his sister, but Absalom went on to murder Amnon. He had Amnon murdered. See, David had, Uriah, murdered. So, see, murder was there, lust was there, adultery. You know, there was a lot involved in King David's sin. And so that's one of the reasons that we need to bring these things out and get them dealt with. And Jesus is the only source of true healing and deliverance of these things that happen in our lives that cause this desolation. And to stop the desolation, the sexual sin, the incubus and the succubus spirit, unclean spirits, shame and sorrow and grief and barrenness, are all of these things what work when these things go on in families. Well, let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask that you would bring to mind not only rape and incest, Father, but even emotional abuse, verbal abuse, anything that has violated us and caused us to feel less than who you created us to be, that has caused us to feel unworthy, like we are refuse or waste. Father, I just ask that you would bring to our minds anyone who has mistreated us in this way, violated our person, violated our spirit, our bodies, our emotions. Lord, bring them to our minds right now that we might forgive, knowing that these who did these things were victims as well. They were the ones who did these things, but if the truth be known, they also had these things done to them, which is what caused it to perpetuate. Lord, we forgive right now every person who has wounded us, who has caused our hearts to be broken, who have violated our persons in any way, who have caused us to feel less than who you created us to be, who have stolen from us our beauty, our joy, our purity. Lord, we forgive them. Right now I bind and break the power of the spirit of rape, molestation, sexual abuse, all trauma. I bind all spirits of trauma in Jesus' name. I command these spirits to leave us women right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of rape, molestation, all sexual abuse, anyone who has touched us in an unholy manner, In the name of Jesus, I command every unclean spirit that came into us through violation to go in Jesus' name. All betrayal, spirits of betrayal, fear, all fear spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of anger, rage, the need for revenge, murder, in Jesus' name, I bind you and break your power right now. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. I come against all flashbacks. All flashbacks. Lord, heal the memories now. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to the memories now. I command flashbacks to stop. I command nightmares to stop. In the name of Jesus, all memory recall of these traumatic things happening, I bind and break the power right now in Jesus' name. I command all blocked memories right now to be released so that they can be dealt with now in Jesus' name. All blocked memories. I come against every spirit of torment. Every spirit of torment, I bind you and break your power right now. I command the spirit of the mean man to go in Jesus' name. The spirit of the mean man, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. All those tormenting spirits, go. The lying spirit that tells you that nobody's going to want you, that you're damaged goods, that you're used goods, that nobody loves you, nobody wants you. The lying spirit that says you're dirty, you're ruined, nobody will ever love you. In the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits and break the power right now. I command all spirits of guilt and shame, I bind you right now, all guilt spirits, feeling like it was your fault. Even the word spoken curses by others who told you it was your fault. In the name of Jesus, I bind all guilt and shame. Go now. I break guilt and shame off of you in the name of Jesus. Go. All spirits of self-hatred, go. In the name of Jesus, I break all spirits of self-hatred, hating yourself, hating the person, in Jesus' name. I command all spirits of perversion, right now I bind you, I break your power. Perversion, you go in Jesus' name. All spirits of perversion, all unclean spirits, go in Jesus' name. All vulgarity spirits, go. All whoredom spirits, go. All spirits of sexual promiscuity, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against frigidity. I come against frigidity. Not able to have normal sexual relations with your husband, in Jesus' name. I bind every frigid spirit now. In Jesus' name, you loose us in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of obesity, anorexia, bulimia, all self-destructive spirits. In the name of Jesus, I bind you right now and command you to go. All self-destructive spirits, hating yourself, seeing yourself as unwanted in Jesus' name. All spirits of rejection, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection, even by your own self, rejecting your own self in the name of Jesus. I come against all arrested development. All arrested development, I bind you and command you to go. I break your power. I break arrested development that kept you in the state of a little child. In Jesus' name, all mental blocks, all confusion and concentration problems, I bind every spirit of insanity, go in Jesus' name. Mental problems, insanity, confusion, indecisiveness, go in Jesus' name. That being in a shock and in a state of stupor, go in Jesus' name. I break off of you dullness, lifelessness, in the name of Jesus. Not having a will even to go on. Not having a will to live. In Jesus' name. I come against every spirit of homosexuality. Every spirit of homosexuality and perversion that came in through anybody
molesting you or through sexual acts in Jesus' name. All homosexual spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits. All unclean spirits. That unclean spirit that makes you think of something dirty every time an innocent statement is made, but you make something dirty out of it. I just bind and break the power of the unclean spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to give them a clean heart. Restore in them a clean heart and a right spirit in Jesus' name. I bind and break every spirit of incest. All spirits of incest, go in Jesus' name. All incubus spirits, I bind you now and command you to cease and desist. No longer will you come to them in the night. Incubus spirits, I bind you, I break your power and command you to leave and never come back. All incubus spirits, all succubus spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. All succubus spirits. I strip off the label that says spirit of the bride of Satan. I bind that spirit of the bride of Satan. I remove the label that you can use me and abuse me in Jesus' name. I rip that label off right now in Jesus' name. And I command every familiar spirit that attached itself to you through any form of abuse, any person that abused you, any person that verbally, mentally, emotionally abused you, I bind the familiar spirits right now that have been following you around and attracting the wrong kind of people to you. I bind them and command them to go. I give you leave now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the soul ties right now. I break all the soul ties with the rapist, the molester, any relatives that molested you or touched you in an unholy manner. I break the soul ties with mother, with father, with grandfather, with grandmother, with brothers and sisters, uncles, cousins. I break the soul ties with the mean man in Jesus' name. I break the soul ties with babysitters, teachers, coaches, pastors, youth directors, neighbors, club leaders, organization leaders, doctors, boyfriends, girlfriends, all soul ties of any of these mentioned in Jesus' name. I break the soul ties with anybody who has hurt you, who has devastated you, who has shocked you and astonished you and betrayed you in Jesus' name. With soul ties with people who have abandoned you for one reason or another, I break the soul ties right now in Jesus' name. I send back their souls and spirits to them, and I call back your souls and spirits to you that you may be made whole in the name of Jesus. I call back all the scatteredness, the scattered mind and scattered emotions in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I speak restoration to the fragmented minds and the fragmented emotions and fragmented spirits in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I just ask that you would dress them, put on them the robe of righteousness. Lord, restore the purity of their robe of righteousness, their robe that of many colors that the virgins wore. Lord, restore their purity. I ask you to cleanse every part of their body that's been touched in an unholy manner. I cover it now with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus to cleanse the female organs, the breast, the mouth, the lips, the tongues, the throats, Lord. The hands, their eyes, Lord. I ask you to heal and cleanse every part of their body that was touched in an unholy manner. Lord, I just ask that you would put on them the garment of the bride of Christ. Now I speak to the broken hearts, all brokenheartedness. Lord, I thank you that your spirit is upon us, that we can heal the brokenhearted. Now, Lord, I just speak healing right now to the broken hearts, the hurt. I speak to all grief and sorrow. I command you to go. Every spirit of heaviness, I break your power and command you to go. I speak to the wounded spirits, Lord. At whatever age, I speak to the wounded spirit, a healing to that deep hurt, the anguish. I speak to all that guilt and shame, the hiding, and the loneliness. I speak to that lying spirit. I command it to shut up. I deafen their ears from this day forward to the lying spirits and the tormenting spirits that would continue to torment them about anything that's happened to them in their past. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the garment of praise. I thank you, Lord, for beauty instead of ashes. I thank you for healing, Lord. And now I just bless them. I bless every person here with beauty, with joy. I bless you with peace. I bless you with purity. I bless you with fruitfulness. I bless you with liberty, freedom from captivity. I bless you with deliverance from all of these spirits. Liberty from the areas in which you were bound. I bless you with freedom from prison, the prison that has held you captive. I bless you with comfort for your sorrow. I bless you with the oil of joy for mourning. And I bless you with the love of the Lord. I bless you with peace. I bless you with wholeness. I thank you, Lord, for your shed blood. I thank you, Lord, that you desire us to be whole. I thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. I thank you for cleansing us. I thank you for newness, Lord. I thank you and I praise you. We give you praise and honor. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word. If anybody needs prayer for anything, I'll be glad to pray for you. And if not, it is 2:35, so y'all have about 25 minutes to do whatever you want to do. You're dismissed. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.